comes from the Lord. Good morning. Aren't you glad you are in an air-conditioned place? Oh, my goodness. That's another good reason to be in church. You know, and those of you online, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. I don't know if your aircon is on in your houses today, but if you would like a very cold, good worship experience, come to church on Sunday mornings. Amen. So praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful facility here. You know, we're doing a series on the heroes of faith. Last Sunday, Pastor Josie started us off with the story of Abraham. And our desire is that this series will deepen our faith, but also challenge our faith. We need both. We need encouragement, but we also need challenge. We need encouragement when life is turned upside down, and so we need the Word of God to encourage us. But we also need to be challenged when life is too comfortable, too easy. Every now and then, the Lord allows us to, "Hoy, gising," you know, so that you can continue to grow in your faith. So let me begin in Hebrews chapter 11. This was already read to us last Sunday, but I want to start off with that. Verse 1, 2, and 6. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients, meaning the Old Testament saints, were commended for. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So in the history of Israel, in the Old Testament, so just a quick, we believe that this is God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Old Testament has 39 books from Genesis all the way to Malachi. New Testament from Matthew to Revelation, 27 books. 39 plus 27 equals 66. Ayan. So you got your math this morning. So we believe that, but in the Old Testament, there are three characters that were larger than life. You have Abraham, the father of faith, the father of the nation. So last Sunday, that was what we heard about. David was a shepherd, psalmist, and king. And 2 weeks from now, I will preach about David. But today, we'll look at Moses, deliverer and lawgiver. Next to our Lord Jesus Christ, more movies have been made about Moses than any other Bible character, because it's just a fascinating story. So Moses' story is given to us the entire arc from his birth to his death. So he starts off as the baby in a basket. If you remember the story in Exodus, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, but they were growing too much because they were like Filipinos. They reproduce. You know, as in talagang ang dami nilang babies. Finally, the Pharaoh said, "This is not right. One of these days, they're gonna overpopulate Egypt. And so, from now on, this is the king's decree. Every Hebrew boy that is born must be killed." And so, we are told the story that the parents hid Moses and then eventually finds his way dun sa River Nile. Eventually finds his way to Pharaoh's daughter. So Pharaoh's daughter adopts Moses. But here's a part of the story that is not very much well known. It's in Exodus chapter 2. When Pharaoh's daughter got the baby out of the river, she said, this is one of the Hebrew boys, because they saw the clothing. No? We need someone to nurse the child. But Moses' sister was actually following as the baby in the basket was moving. And so when she saw that Pharaoh's daughter took the baby Moses, Miriam, the sister, said, "I know someone who can nurse the child." He said, "Really? Who?" The mother. But she did not say exactly. No, she got Moses' mother, their mother, to actually nurse Moses. Wow. See all of those, how God orchestrates our life, no? So that even when we are seemingly veering away, God places people in our life to bring us back. No? So, and then from that time on, later on he grows up, God calls him via this burning bush. You know, this bush that is like on fire but never actually gets burned. And then his ministry as Israel's deliverer from Egypt. So when finally, and you've seen the movies, and Barbara was telling me this morning, "Are you going to do that, what you did?" Yes, you know. So, isn't it fascinating that in every movie about Moses, when God speaks, it's like this, Moses. Moses. Have you ever seen a movie where God says, Moses, Moses? Wala, no? No, it's always Moses. Seems like the voice of God, you know, parang Morgan Freeman yung nagsasalita, you know. And so, when God tells Moses to go back to Egypt and tell him, let my people go, diba? Yun ang mga dialogue doon in that old movie before. And so, 10 plagues and then finally the deliverance. And then, later on, he would receive the 10 commandments on Mount Sinai. So, you must have seen this meme, diba? Long before si Steve Jobs created the tablet. Moses came down with 2. Ayan. Moses came down with 2 tablets. Ayan. So, and then of course we know that he also established the priesthood and the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then later on he passes the baton to the next leader, that is Joshua. So, notice his entire life is being portrayed to us in scriptures. And finally, seeing the Israelites cross over to the promised land. Wow. You know, when we went to Israel, we started off in Jordan. No, on the other side. And so we went to this place where they say, traditionally, that's where Moses stood because it's on the top of a hill. You can see the border between Jordan and Israel, meaning the entry point to the promised land. Try to imagine this. You know, Moses just led these people for 40 years in the wilderness, stubborn, hard-hearted people. And finally, when they're about to enter, God tells him, except you. Oh, ikaw ang namalengke. Ikaw ang naghiwa. Ikaw ang naglagay sa kawali. Ikaw ang naghalo. Ikaw ang naghain. Hindi ka pinayagang kumain. How would you feel? Come on. 40 years pinagtsagaan mo tong Israelites, and then right as they're about to enter, God says no. And you know the story. The reason is because in one occasion where the people were complaining, they were complaining a lot, right? Ah, ang init. Parang tayo. Ooh, ang init. So kanina po, sa labas, kausap ko si Brother Sammy, one of our, sabi niya, ako pastor, hindi kumaangal ng mainit eh. Kasi piling ko lalong umiinit. Pag sinabi kong, ooh, ang init, lalong umiinit. You know, so, but anyway, the Israelites were complaining a lot. Ooh, there's no food. God rains manna from heaven. Right? Ooh, tinapay lang, walang palaman. You know, so, God rains pugo, quail, you know. Oh, may tinapay, may palaman, walang mainom, you know. So there's no water. So on one occasion, God says to him, strike the stone. But on a second occasion, God tells him, speak to the rock. But out of just frustration and being upset, he struck the rock twice in front of the people. And God says, because of that, I will not let you in. And just like any normal person, he pleaded with the Lord. How many of you, when God says no to you, you plead your case? Come on, let's be honest. Lord naman, please, please, no. Please, no. Please, stop it. Nakababasa po ninyo yan. Nasa Deuteronomy. God told Moses, enough. Stop asking. I'm not changing my mind. Sometimes I think we think sa kakulitan natin, mako-convince mo si Lord, ano? You know, siguro kung kukulitin ko to, bibigay. You know? But when God has determined something, He did not change His mind. So, Moses says, sige Joshua, ikaw na lang, hindi ako allowed this. So, you lead the people into the promised land. And then, the scripture says, Moses died and God Himself buries him in an undisclosed location. No one knows to this day where Moses' body is. Interesting. Why would God go through the trouble of being the personal embalmer and funeral parlor of the Lord, of Moses? No? Why would God go through that trouble? Must have been because of this. Moses is such a huge figure in their nation that all the miracles that you can think of. See, Abraham's miracle, you know, the child, Isaac, is a personal miracle between Abraham and Sarah. But all the miracles Moses performed was for everyone to see, everyone to know. It's very possible. God knew they would worship Moses. If they ever found where Moses was, alam mo naman ng tao, itatayo yun, you know, lalagyan ng robe. And so, Moses, you know. And they will worship. So God says, no, not happening. I'm going to hide his body forever. So today, we will look at Hebrews chapter 11. The story of Moses is so long, and it's not enough to, you know, sometimes I joke to you, fourth quarter na, then we're going to go like 5 overtime periods just to get through Moses. So we won't do that today. Hebrews 11 is our main text where I will lift up some lessons about Moses. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we present to you our hearts and minds. Would you, Lord, make our hearts and minds good soil so that your word will come in, will be able to bear fruit in our lives so that even others can benefit from it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Ready? So tell someone near you, God has a word for us today. Yes. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By the way, every parent knows and believes their child is no ordinary child. Would you agree? Right? So if you are near your child right now, just tell them, you are no ordinary child. God has his hand on you. Yeah. Now, for sure, even his parents did not foresee what kind of big purpose God has for their child. They just sensed, you know, our child is special. We better hide him so he does not die too early. And remember, I told you about how their Moses' mother becomes the yaya in the house of Pharaoh for her own child Moses. So here's lesson number one: our faith journey begins not just when, as adults, we decide to believe and follow God, but rather from childhood, when our parents plant seeds of faith in our hearts. I believe with all of my heart, the reason why later on Moses would make faith decisions is because as a child, it wasn't Pharaoh's daughter who raised him. It was his own parents. By some weird sovereign hand of God, yung bata na you know, sa dagat, ends up not just in Pharaoh's daughter's hands, but taking Moses' mother to take care of him in his formative years. How many of you know how important those first years of a child are? That's where you learn a lot of stuff. There's a famous book, and you can find it in National Bookstore and others, said, everything I know, I learned in kindergarten. That's the title of the book. Everything I know, now as an adult, I learned in kindergarten. What did you learn in kindergarten? What did you learn when you were like 4 or 5 years old? Come on. What did you learn? Okay. 1, 2, 3, ABC, colors, but also good manners, right conduct, right? And also faith. I thank God for my parents. My parents were not born again Christians like we are today. I was raised Roman Catholic like most Filipinos were. But one thing I appreciate in that is that my parents raised me with a basic belief in God and a basic belief in Christ. It was an imperfect faith. It did not have biblical, you know, foundations, but there was enough seed there that one day, 20 years later, when I hear the gospel, it was no longer from zero to the gospel. There was enough laid foundation that my parents placed. They would bring us to church, you know, they would talk to us about God, etc. Now, later on, like I mentioned, you know, I was born again at age 20, a year before it was my sister. But my parents passed away before we even came to know Christ in a personal way. I was 11 when my mother died and 17 when my father died. And I was born again at age 20. So, wala na po ang magulang. The youngest of 8 ako. So many years later, I was already a pastor and we were doing a conference. This was in our church in Alabang. And the night before, I had this thought. Was there someone who shared the gospel to my parents? Did they have the opportunity to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ before they died. I did not say that to anyone. It was just a thought. The day later, during the conference, during a break, we had many pastors in the room at the time from different churches. One person approached me, introduced himself that he's a pastor, and then he said this, "So your name is Pastor Albert Clavo?" And I said, "Joke." Somebody gave me a gift kanina, nakalagay to Pastor Arnold Clavio. Naku, 24 oras po yun. Hindi po ako yun. Yung po yung hindi kita tatantanan. Oo, so hindi ako yun. But I gladfully took the gift. Thank you so much. Maski na wrong spelling, okay lang din. Pero this person said, "You're Pastor Albert Clavo?" "Yes." "Was it like in Project 3, your house, ganyan-ganyan?" "Yes." "You know, I grew up in that place," sabi niya. And then he said this, without me asking, inquiring, no? This pastor said, "You know, my mother was an evangelist." Okay. Praise the Lord. That's good. And then he said, "And my mother would go house to house sharing the gospel in our neighborhood." "Oh, really? Wow." And then he said, "I'm sure my mother must have spoken to your parents at some point." I did not say to anyone what I was thinking the night before. Was there someone who had the opportunity to share the gospel to my parents? And God sends this person the next day to tell me, "Yes, someone did. Someone shared the gospel to your parents before they died." Let us not limit God's ability to reach people. People that are far away, people that we don't know personally, or even our own loved ones that you've tried your best. How many of you, you've tried your best to share your faith to your loved ones and sarado. Right? Anong tawag doon? Sarado, kandado, naka-double lock pa, and may chain, you know? Do not ever limit God's ability to reach them through someone else. Amen? So, turns out, my parents heard the gospel, and I am praying and believing because God took the trouble to let me know that I am believing that they actually received Christ before they died. And so, I honor them for that, even the tiny seed of faith that they passed on to us. However, now that we know Christ, now that we know His Word, here's a challenge to all of us that are parents and grandparents. We must pass this on to our children and grandchildren. Amen? And to the titos and titas that are in the house, to your pamangkins. Because we have to tell